A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 14th September 2021, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings on the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 410. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention, then we will have our half an hour of inner awareness meditation. We are off the light. So just relax body and mind completely, be at ease, then maintain awareness to stabilize the inner awareness within. If you are familiar with any object of meditation, whether it's anapanasati, the breathing in and out, or rising, falling of abdomen, or whatever, even Buddha or what, you can just develop that training to anchor your mind so that your mindfulness can be stabilized. Whatever you do, whether it's through method or technique, or even mind sweeping method followed by metta, is to train the mind to be aware, to be calm, to be peaceful. So when mind become very quiet, very peaceful, silent, aware, and without thought, that is the meditative mind that we are training to develop. And it can only arise when the thought cease, which means you are just aware without any thought movement. To realize that is not easy. That's why you must have the understanding that without thought, you're already aware. So don't try to like do something to be aware. You can't. Where the doing is always by the thought. When thought is active, you cannot become quiet. Your thought cannot cease. So relax. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do whatever. Just silent. Completely silent. And maintain awareness. Then let the thinking, mental activity, sankhara, settle down. Whatever that is already there, you allow it to slow down. And on its own, it will slow down without you having to do anything. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. The third merit is inconceivable. With it, we can attain freedom, transform others, and manifest the power of our vows. Although we have afflictions, it is as if we have no affliction. Although still in cyclical existence, we have no fear. Though constantly fettered by 108 grave illnesses, we have compassion for sentient beings. Without focusing on ourselves, we are like a master boat man whose body is healed. He has a steady boat. He can still help others across. So this is a very beautiful verse. It's about how great the Bodhisattva and the Buddhas are. Okay, I'll read on the commentaries. There are many afflictions in the world, but its spiritual practitioners can skillfully restore them with wisdom. Then even as ordinary people, they can still feel free and at ease. So the third merit is inconceivable. With it, we can attain freedom, transform others, and manifest the power of our vows. With a mind that is free and the power of our vows, we can transform ourselves and others and benefit sentient beings. Although we have affliction, it is as if we have no affliction. Although still in cyclical existence, we have no fear. As long as we take good care of our mind, learn to transcend affliction and distraction in life, understand that birth and death are part of the natural course of life and open our heart wide, we will not fear living in cyclical existence. Look at Suji's recycling volunteers. Although many of them are elders, and some are even suffering from cancer, they still devote themselves to protecting the atmosphere, the environment, with such joy. There is no way to tell that they are ill. I once saw a Thai TV reporter interviewing a terminally ill elderly woman. The reporter said, "You are so full of energy when you help with the recycling work." The old lady or woman said, "Master Chen Yan tells us, do not waste even a single second. 4 or 5 years ago, the doctor told me that I have only 6 months life or 6 months to live. I don't know why I'm still here. But rather than lying in bed waiting for death, I want to come out and help do recycling work." This positive outlook she has towards life is exactly what is meant by although still in cyclical existence, means within samsara, we have no fear. So this is the faith of a cultivator. When you have faith, a lot of things can happen. Some call it miracles. Some call it special manifestation or ability. It's actually developed through the heart that has the faith and the resolve. When your faith is strong, the Dhamma will unfold. So faith is very important. In the phrase, constantly fettered by 108 grave illnesses, 108 grave illnesses is a figure of speech. There are clearly many more than 108 diseases in the world. The Buddhist sutras also describe people as having 84,000 afflictions. Or Dhammadol. Actually, all of these chaotic and subtle affliction can never really be counted. In our daily life, although we have already resolved to engage in spiritual practice, we still have many irresolvable entanglements and afflictions. Even though we all possess the same pure intrinsic nature as the Buddha, this pure nature is often obscure or bound by afflictions. So we are unable to awaken. So this is very true. When you don't have problem, when you don't have affliction, then that nature shines forth. But most living beings, because of their heedless nature, their nature are obscure, bound by problems or afflictions. That's why they are unable to realize the truth, to awaken. Therefore, we call ordinary people Tathagata inborn. So this is a good description. You have the potential to be a Buddha, to be a Tathagata, but you can't because your nature has been clouded. So it's like your potential cannot manifest. Means you are like a Buddha, but bonded because of that delusion. So this obscuring of our true mind or true nature is the one that leads to delusion, heedlessness. Because of that, living beings cannot awaken and develop the wisdom to free their mind. Although we ourselves are entangled by afflictions, when we see sentient beings suffer, we still feel sympathy for them. In the Dominican Republic, there is a Tsuji care recipient called Mary, or Maria. Maria, although she is financially impoverished and her husband is ill, out of her compassion, she has adopted many orphans who have lost their parent. When asked, which one are your children? She replied, they are all my children. She loved every child as her own. When we practice the Buddha's way, we must have the same open heart. By treating every sentient being as a part of our family, our mind will not be entangled by attachment. This is how we have compassion for sentient beings without focusing on ourselves. So this understanding is very important. When you are selfless, your heart is beautiful. But when you think through the ego, or what we call the personality thinking that you exist, then you develop the evil roots, especially selfishness. So when you think selfishly, then you cannot be compassionate. Then the thought will give rise to all this negativity of mind states that can condition negativity of action and speech. Then you lose yourself. Your virtue, everything ceases to exist because of that deluded mind that has the evil roots. That's why when you don't have that personality, when you don't focus on yourself, when you don't think of yourself, then you just sincerely manifest. That's how you should develop the mind. A selfless person means without ego, they can be really beautiful. They can sacrifice. They can express their love, their compassion. They can really transform living beings, be a blessing to all. Then we read on. We must be like a boatman, master boatman, whose body is ill. He has a steady boat. He can still help others across. If there is only one boat that can cross a wide and turbulent river, there will be times when the boatman is unwell, but many people still need to urgently cross. So though he is sick or ill, he must still ferry everyone across. The same is true for us as bodhisattvas. To carry from the state of ordinary people to the state of noble beings or enlightened beings, we must sail through the 10,000 foot high wave in the river of affliction. So this is figuratively, which means despite the obstruction, the difficulties, you still persevere. This is why we need the right Dhamma. It is like a very steady boat. By exercising our wisdom and applying the Dhamma, we can help ourselves and others to safely reach the other shore. So the other shore is another way of expressing the realization of enlightenment. Because during the Buddha's time, he always explained to the monk, he said, when we are in this conditioned world, means we are on this side of the shore. We have not reached the other shore. The other shore is the unconditioned, beyond what is the conditioned world. So understanding this is very important. Then you can reach the other shore. You can help others and ourselves to safely realize the unconditioned, or figuratively is it to reach the other shore where there is no more affliction, no more karma, no more existence. Okay, we will read on with the next adapted verse. When among people, be strong or gentle according to the condition. So the key understanding is according to the condition. Sometimes you need to be strong. Sometimes you need to be gentle, pleasant. It depends on the condition and the situation. Then say you have the right Dhamma and vow to accept and practice it. This allows the proper teachings of all Buddhas to manifest and the seed of the Tathagata nature to develop and be carried on. As we engage in spiritual cultivation, we must not practice only for our own sake. So this one is referring to the sainthood way, but also live among and interact with other people to give of ourselves for the benefits of all sentient beings. Because all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas cannot bear to abandon sentient beings. They repeatedly return to the human realm on the ship of compassion. But sentient beings remain lost in the sea of suffering, samsara, drifting about helplessly. Faced with sentient beings' stubbornness and limited capabilities, Bodhisattva must resolve or resolutely safeguard their aspiration to protect them. Then at every moment, they will support and care for sentient beings. Thus, they are sentient beings' unsurmounted teachers. Therefore, when practicing the Bodhisattva way or path, we must do so with wisdom. We must examine the capability of sentient beings as we interact with them. So when among people, be strong or gentle according to the condition. So these are the skills that you need to develop as Bodhisattvas. We must use both our strength and our gentleness to benefit others. This is like a teacher instructing children. Some children are stubborn and they must be guided with warm and tender words and pacified with gentle means. Some children have been overly doted on, so they may become exceedingly bold, thinking that someone will always protect them. This is how they become deluded and lost their way. Therefore, they need more forceful guidance in order to become well-behaved. So to transform sentient beings in the world, we must adopt to people's many different capacities. One of the Buddha's 10 epithets is the word dhatema, meaning the Buddha can see what people's different capacity are and teach them accordingly. Thus training both overly complain and overly stubborn sentient beings. The word is compliance. What is the meaning? Not the stubborn type. I read it wrongly. I think I read it again. Sentient beings of different capacities are and teach them accordingly. Thus training both overly compliant and overly stubborn sentient beings. In this era of Dhamma decay, so we look at the notes, note 52. Master Chen will call it Dhamma ending age, Dhamma decay. Chia Xiang's brief explanation of the Lotus Sutta, chapter 5 states, although the Buddha had passed, the Dhamma did not change. This is called the era of right Dhamma. After the Buddha has been gone for a long time, the teaching changed. This is called the era of Dhamma semblance. Afterwards, the teaching vanished. This is called the era of Dharma decay or Dharma ending age. Regarding the duration of this three period, there are no definite answers. Some say the era of right Dharma lasted for 500 years after the Buddha's passing, and that the era of Dharma semblance lasted for 1,000 years. Others stated that the era of right Dharma and Dharma semblance each lasted 1,000 years before the era of Dharma decay began. This period would then last for 10,000 years before all the teaching vanished completely. Yet others say that the era of right Dharma lasted 1,000 years, while the era of Dharma semblance and Dharma decay would each last 5,000 years. So this one is the varying type of comment from the various source of information. So I read on. In this era of Dharma decay or Dharma ending age, the mind of sentient beings have deviated further and further away from the right Dharma. Although right Dharma still exists in the world, we sentient beings cannot see it because our minds are covered by ignorance or clouded, and our views is obstructed by the vast sea of desire. So this one is very true, especially now. Over the past 2,600 years after the passing away of Sakyamuni Buddha, you can see the teachings, how it has evolved. The only, good thing that has happened is through the chanting, a lot of the original words of the Buddha are preserved. But the problem is, over the period of time, the Dharma semblance era has caused the authentic Dharma to be adulterated or become different. So it has lost its true efficacy, or there is another word, potency or effectiveness, because it's no longer what it used to be. During the Buddha's time, its authenticity of that teaching can bring about awakening, transformation, enlightenment. But over the years, you have less and less and less of this enlightenment. The possible reason could be, as we know, when you want to teach something to somebody, that's why I look at the way education has evolved, science, technology, and the various type of teachings or education has evolved. It's actually evolving for the better. But in the early days, during the time of the Buddha, there were practically no such possibility of a good education system to actually preserve teachings and evolve teachings. The reason being, during the time of the Buddha, there was no writing. And technology-wise, we were very backward. Then later on, as time passed by, we have more and more advancement. Then when we can have writing, all this can be preserved, written down, instead of oral transmission through memory, through chanting. That's how we have books. Then later on, technology allow us to do recording, transcript. Then later on, we even have the power to video, to record all this. Then now we can have Zoom. Then we can have syllabus. Then we can have research paper share among peer review and all those things. So all this protect the integrity of understanding and knowledge. But during the early years, because they depend on the enlightened beings to interpret the teaching. And the problem that time is because they got nothing to record them, to preserve them, the education system or the advancement of technology to help preserve all this. That's why what happened could be the passing down of understanding is like from the master to the student. If you do it that way, it's very difficult. Especially you got no book, nothing to record all these things. True memory is very difficult. And the commentaries, the interpretation of it all is not easy because spiritual teachings are very abstract, very different from knowledge-based education and all those things. So what happened is, it's just like if you have some maybe message you want to pass on now from people to people or generation to generation. We have tried before. If the message is long, the first person you pass to, maybe out of the 30 words or 30, before that time no writing, 1 minute of instruction, that person can retain at the most, I think, 90% if he's very good memory. Otherwise, maybe 70 or 80%. That is considered good. Then when it reached this next student or disciple, then what he understands is just a certain percentage of what the master and teacher has taught. Then he continued to pass on the message, which means the next one that gets it, maybe out of the 70%, another 30% of that is no longer authentic. So 30% that is passed on is non-authentic. Then out of the 70% that he remember, he passed on, another 30% could be no longer authentic. That's why over the years it has deteriorated. Then what happened is, luckily the teaching was preserved through chanting. The words are there, but the commentary, the interpretation of it, that one has problem. So because of that, the efficacy, the ability to truly understand this teaching keep on deteriorating until what it is today. Then the lucky thing is Bodhidharma took the teaching over to China. Then when the teaching crossed over to China, the Mahayana came about. Then with the arising of the six patriarchs, the Buddhist teaching starts to flourish again. Beyond that is the what we call the advanced phase of Mahayana teaching. The early phase, like the five period that the Buddha actually taught, the initial period are more to cater for sainthood way, to realize enlightenment via sainthood way. The higher teachings to go the Bodhisattva way only come about after Bodhidharma took the teaching across over to China. Then it was during that era that the Bodhisattva way was taught. Then the teaching evolved and become different. But over time, again, Luckily, by then, when Bodhidharma brought the teaching over to China, there was writing already. That's why they write it down. They translated from Sanskrit to Mandarin. Then because of Xuan Zang, the monk who went over to India to get the scripture, together with what Bodhidharma has taught to them and the recording, they managed to actually preserve a lot of the true teaching. The most important teachings are the time of Six Patria, where he has this ability to teach from that true mind, the silent mind, to realize the Buddha nature. So there is an era where the Buddhist teaching, the Dhamma, flourish again. Then over the years until now, I think it has somewhat deteriorated again. So to find the true teaching is not easy, because sentient beings' mind are mostly obscure and clouded, as stated in this adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. Okay, we go back to the adapter verse. I will read to you, then you will understand. So here is stated, in the era of Dhamma decay, the mind of sentient being has deviated further and further away from the right Dhamma. This is very true. Although right Dhamma still exists in the world, sentient being cannot see. Why? Because their mind are covered by ignorance, clouded by affliction, by wrong views. So this explanation is very good. And he said, clouded by views, obstructed by the vast sea of desire, means craving. Ancient sages said, big swells rise in the river of craving, huge waves surge in the sea of suffering. Though the human mind is intangible and imperceptible, our perspective and thinking still drive us in endless pursuit of more. Our greed is as high as Mount Sumeru and as deep as the deepest ocean. Once the wind of ignorance blows, the vast amount of ocean water will swell into huge, disastrous, or dangerous waves. So all the chaos of the world is caused by human mind deviating from the right path or right Dhamma. Therefore, we must safeguard the right Dhamma and vow to accept and practice it. If we want our families and society to be at peace, we must first bring purity to everyone's mind and help them move forward in the right direction. So this one is not easy. How can we help people train their mind to attain purity? This is the big question mark. If the right Dhamma, the world appear to be in chaos because the right Dhamma cannot be found. So in order to attain purity, we need the right Dhamma. But right Dhamma cannot be found because very few people have the understanding now. From news report, we witness many kinds of chaos. Some of it is caused by people who choose to gamble on the stock market rather than do honest work. As we have seen, this speculation causes stock market bubbles. Some people sell their homes, pawn personal property, or borrow money to buy stocks. Once the economy and stock market crash, all those valuable stocks can suddenly become worthless. During times like these, when the economy worsen, people often suffer from different forms of mental instability, such as depression, schizophrenia, or other illness of the mind. So this part, I think, we need to look at it slightly objectively and differently. Yeah? This is the author's view. What she said is true if people speculate in the stock market. But stock market, they are being developed for a purpose in our society. We call it a capital market. It is for a certain genuine and good purpose. Capital market is to raise capital to help new startups and smaller companies to actually look for financing or capital to grow their business. So the capital market has a lot of participants involved. If it's an orderly capital market, then it's supposed to serve its purpose. But the problem with human beings is they are greedy, they are selfish, they have motive. They want to make easy money. They want to create speculation. They want to create a false image of what the movement of the stocks are. So if you involve in stock market manipulation, then that is unethical. That is against the law. That's why we have capital market laws to deal with all this. They now have a lot of new terms. Not only manipulation, speculation, there are other terms, market rigging, or the various way of deception. Then there are a lot of scam within. But apart from stock market, we can observe in real life, in our society and our civilization, there are a lot of other type of investment products, not necessarily stock market alone. Then there are also businesses where it can be genuine and non-genuine, like the illegal underground trade. Even gambling, gaming and all those things, there are legal and illegal. Legal ones are with license, sanctioned by the government, by law. So all this is part and parcel of nature's evolution. As you evolve, you develop more and more of this understanding. That's why we have our banking. We have our central bank to regulate. And now they have to come out with the various type of regulatory bodies to regulate all these things. Then they also come out with instruments that are very unique. And nowadays, there is also what we call cryptocurrency, which is no longer just normal currency of a country where the central bank is in charge and in control. So the human mind, they will have this creative ability to evolve new things. So what I'm trying to explain here is, if you look at it objectively, all this has its purpose. If we are sincere, if we are here to promote all these good things, not to become cunning or what we call selfish, to take advantage of the system and create the problems, then with the right Dhamma, we can really make the world a better place. During the early days, I remember, we used to have our within classmate discussion. They said the country can come up with a lot of laws, rules, but there are a lot of people who will learn how to circumvent the law, the rules. Some even purposely try to break it. And there are some politicians that say it's okay to cheat or to be corrupt or what, as long as you are not caught. It's okay. This type of thinking, mentality. So living beings that are not sincere, don't have the right Dhamma understanding, they dare to violate all this. But there is a law that governs all this action. The law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So you take this aspect of the spiritual law into consideration, then you realize whatever people do, they will still be subject to this law of karma, karma niyama. So because of that, there are causes and conditions behind people who are drawn into the stock market, people who speculate, and people who get themselves into trouble and entanglement. All this is part and parcel of the spiritual law of karma. You reap what you sow. So if you do this to people, in future you become the victim. People will scam you. You will get yourself involved in all those illicit activity that brings about karmic friction, suffering, misery for you. Yeah, this is what you did to people when you are on the other side. So to me, this type of Dhamma understanding is more appropriate instead of blaming the stock market. It's just like technology. You cannot blame technology. So some people who look at technology in a very different aspect, they will go and complain. They say, because of internet, because of technology, we have a lot of problems, especially with the young. First thing they will mention is pornography, honestly. But then, you like it or you not, technology is here to stay. Whether you look for pornography or what, is the society's training, the individual's conditioning, how society has moved itself. Then you have the various type of karmic thing that integrate into all this. So it's not what, it's not about right and wrong, good or bad. You cannot blame technology. It's the user of technology. It's the user of all this product of humanity. If the user has wisdom, has right Dhamma, then everything will follow Dhamma way. It will not debate. It will not have its negativity or consequence. So this understanding is very important. Then we evolve as one humanity, as one nation. Then we get to progress along the path of Dhamma. So these are very useful understanding. Before I continue, I just want to let you all know. I just sent out this Salika Sutta that Sister Ingbi had sent out. Maybe you all can have a look at it. I will be sharing it next week, next Tuesday. This Salika Sutta is a very good discourse or sutta. I remember 16 years ago, I was asked by my first batch of Kayamita to share the sutta because they were so interested in the sutta. At that time, there were big arguments about the jhanas, the eight jhanas, and the real vipassana meditation and all those things. So people cannot understand. So what happened was, I think the Burmese tradition, from Maharshi Sayadaw, he wrote a book, I think. The whole book was on Salika Sutta. It was an orange book, I remember. So they passed me that book. So when I read through, I understood what the sutta was, but it was not the way they explained it. So that's why I summarized the whole thing, and that time I remember I shared. When I was sharing it, very few people can follow or understand. Then because I think Sister Ingby was very attentive, so I used to bring up on a few occasions about this sutta. Then it makes Sister Ingby interested in like finding out what this sutta is. Why is it so special, so important? That's why the condition arise. Then Sister Ingby was full of joy. I think 1 or 2 days back, he wrote to me and he managed to find this translation by Bohi, Bhikkhu Bohi, which is one of the best commentaries or translation, English translation, and sent it to me. And when I saw that attachment that he sent with the marking all, I knew she understood what the sutta is and appreciated it very well. That's why she was full of smile, full of joy. Then she wrote to me and closed the thing and told me if there's condition, she would like the request for this sutta to be shared. I know she is requesting on behalf of other Kayamitas so that more people can benefit. And because of that, I today reply, I say, yeah, I will share. And I agree to share. And I rejoice with all the wholesomeness. So because of that, he sent it to my daughter to get it, like the PDF version. Or Word document. So my daughter has had it in the thing. After, if we have time, we will show it to you. Otherwise, you go to the My Kayamita. We have a copy I just sent out. It's from my email. I downloaded it, but you have to open it up and use the appropriate sizing to read. There are different phones. I was told have different format for the PDF file. There are some, the word become very small, but it can be adjusted on. Okay, so that is for the first announcement. The second announcement is Thursday class, Sunday class, we have to cancel it because my son is going to, only for this week, sorry, is going with the wife to our station. So the dog, they got a beagle, will be sent over to my house. So my daughter and Ben will be helping to look after. So she won't be free to conduct all this. And I also would not want to conduct this with the dog around. If it's a Dhamma dog, then okay. But we don't know what will happen. So it's best for us to take a rest. Then at the same time, you all can have more time for your own study cultivation. Then we will resume next Tuesday. That's why next Tuesday will be this Salika Sutta. That's why I sent it out today and I announced it today so that you all can prepare yourself. So this Salika Sutta, go through it. It's very good. Then try your very best to understand it so that on that day when I share, you can follow. And it can benefit you if you prepare yourself. Now this is a very beautiful sutta. This one expanded the defilements into 45. There are 45 mind states that we need to train ourselves to develop effacement. Then we must understand how to develop the cultivation, how we must apply all those understanding. This one is good because this is the teaching where one of the disciples of the Buddha, Chinda, he requested on behalf of the monks who are still in the early stage of their cultivation. So this sutta explains a lot of very important pointers that cultivator must have that is suitable for the initial cultivators who wants to progress. And it also includes the higher teachings, but no explanation of how to develop it. It's only mentioned in one line, how you should realize it. That's it. But the subsequent explanation is very good because it involves the preliminary cultivation. That's why you will start to see the whole teaching evolving out. Why finally I always tell you all, whatever meditation you do, whatever cultivation you do, it does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path. It's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This sutta will explain to you why. And all the 45, they are all actually part and parcel of the Noble Eightfold Path practices, evolving all the right view, right understanding, right speech, right action, right thought, and of course the four right effort to do all those things. So all this you have to go through to develop the understanding. Then it's very similar to the Sabbasavak Sutta, Sutta on Defilements. Very similar. That's why from all this sutta, you will know how the Buddha's teaching is being taught and expanded on. And over the 45 years of his teaching, how he actually on different occasions teach different sutta to suit the people at that time. And their capability or capacity to understand. Okay, so it is two. We'll continue for another 5 minutes or so. Okay. Many years ago when I visited Taichung, this one is by the author, a reporter told me a true story. In a certain Changhua hospital, many patients with psychiatric problems had come in to see the doctors. All of them, young and old, looked dispirited and were talking to themselves. The vice superintendent asked the superintendent, "What do we do? There are so many of this type of patients. How can we see them all?" The superintendent said, "This patient will be very difficult to treat, but if we put out a poster board and write, 'The stock market has gone up,' when these patients see it, their mental state will improve right away." When this poster board was put down, was put up, sure enough, everyone who saw it became happier and went home. So that one is a mental problem because of stock market. Either lost money because of speculation or market crash. So this is what we call economic crisis. This is part and parcel of the first noble truth reality. The loss of wealth, separation from things that you own or possess, can happen during crisis. As you can see, this patient's illness were as elusive as bubble, but they did not uphold their basic responsibility in life and work to the best of their abilities. They strayed from the proper way of making a living. If everyone can accept the right Dhamma and live a life of discipline, we can all return to a proper way of life, and society will be safe and peaceful. If we can all safeguard the right Dhamma, vow to accept and practice it, we will live according to the rules, means the rule of law, according to the rules of society. and make practical contribution with the abilities we have. By practicing right Dhamma and training our mind properly, we allow the proper teachings of our Buddha to manifest and the seed of the Tathagata nature to be developed and carried on. In this way, not only will we transform ourselves, but the power of our vows will enable us to transform others. So this is very good. Okay, we will stop here. Then after that, we will open up for meditation, reporting our monk dispatcher.
I'm glad to hear that Sister Pamasuri nephew is recovering and returning back to Malaysia. That's very good news.
We should all rejoice. Yes.
Okay. Recently, for me, we had one encounter with COVID.
Oh. Okay.
Not that we have it, but you know, in Singapore. We have this how we call that tracer together, meaning we have an app. Everybody has to pull an app, and we go out, we have to use it so they can
trace your movement.
They can trace where you go and who you in contact with. Let's say you stand, or this is just a
example.
This is just an example. You stand next to a person that is infected positive. Then they will alert you. You know that they will alert you. Send a SMS to tell you that you have a risk of infection. So you have to isolate yourself. You have to isolate yourself.
Oh, that's good.
Stay in your room and you know, don't go go to work.
Don't leave your house.
So one of my relatives staying with me had that SMS last Thursday. When she told me about it, actually, you see, for me, I have not come across any of this alert before. I also don't know what to do, you know. But then from the SMS alert, it tells you what you need to do, like what website you have to go and look, what instruction you need to do.
It's very good.
So you have to go to the website to look at the instruction. When I look at the instruction, because she's staying with us, so I have to like make sure she follow the instruction. If you don't follow the instruction, you can be fined or go to jail.
Correct.
So it's quite serious. When you receive it, and this is the first time you receive, so I also have no idea because we have not received such official
notice
from government, is it? So we do not know what are we supposed to do. So this is the first time, first encounter. So on that day itself, I was attending Brother Teo's Zoom class, so I didn't look at it until much later, you know. Then when I look at it, I said, "Ayo, what am I supposed to do?" You know. So but anyway, I went in and looked at the website and what are the instructions to do. First instruction is tell you, you have to isolate, you know. Actually, the words they use are so simple. What do you mean by that? Isolate, stay in the room, don't come out, or what? Can you use common toilet?
The person mask himself.
Wear mask, they can't think, you know.
Wash hands.
But they don't write all these things, Brother Teo. We can best guess. First thing you must do is wear mask, you know, because you're staying with other people in the family.
They will normally suggest confine him to a room or a single room where he use alone. But it depends. There are different views because 2 months ago, I think what happened was my sister's son, one of them, I think it's not really he came into contact with somebody, but it seems his boss actually went out and met somebody who had this, what they call COVID-19. Then the boss also received this trickle, so isolate. And because the boss and him also has some contact, so they scared he also have to isolate. So what happened was, he was told to isolate at home first. Then when the boss negative, then he no need to do anything. If the boss positive, then he need to go and do a check and all this thing. So what happened was, my sister have 4 children. So they put him in one of the room, then food everything arranged for him, and tell him we are bringing the food, don't come out. After left, they WhatsApp him and say, the food is ready at your doorstep, you collect it. So they do it at home. But some people have this type of view. They say it's very difficult to do it at home. If you do it this way, because sometimes the person supposed to isolate is not disciplined. He will come out, he will do what he wants to do. Then it's very difficult to isolate. So there are some who suggest, like in Malaysia, what they do is, there are this 5-star hotel at that time, a lot of empty rooms. So they register themselves for this COVID-19 for people who want to isolate themselves to stay, like those travelers from out station or overseas come back, they need to quarantine. So these are quarantine hotels. So they will send the person who is involved. If I one of our Kayamita also called me where the maid was detected positive. So when it was that case, it was shocking. Then they don't know what to do, they panic. But luckily they asked around, they found this facility, so they sent the maid to one of the 5-star hotel to have the quarantine. So it seems after about supposed to be 14 days, but I think it ended up the maid came out earlier. But they prepare some good TCM Chinese help for her, and she recovered. So there are various way to do it, but don't panic, most important thing. Then just ask around or seek advice, then do what you have to do. We need to emphasize discipline. Then I think if there are such facility, although it's not cheap, not cheap, it depends on the charges of that hotel. But that time, because there's an empty room, so I was told the charges were not that expensive. At that time, it was food and lodging, I think, for 14 days, I think it's about 2,000 plus or what, I forgot. Really. So that is the charges and all those things. But it's safer to keep them in a quarantine area rather than at home. But if the family members all can cooperate with each other and develop the discipline, then it's no problem. Then nowadays we can work from home. Then you can have family member around. It's easier for you all to actually seek help or whatever. Then I think there are alternative medicine that can help. Even Dr. Jayanta, they also use alternative medicine like homeopathia. Is it homeopathia, homeopathy, which is very good. And Dr. Jayanta is very good. Well, his diagnosis or approach is total medical diagnosis. Means he looked at you not only from the Western medical approach, it's like total medical science. Means he wants to know your whatever lifestyle, the supplement you eat, the drug you take, the medication you take, and your lifestyle, how you end up having all this. And he also know how to like do acupuncture and also tamang. And he's a doctor. He's a very good doctor. So he actually, the way he diagnosed patient, I think is very good. So I had the opportunity to witness one of it. That's why I knew he's very good. But before that also, I sensed it that he's very sincere, a very good doctor. That's why he doesn't believe in just the Western medical approach alone, because that one, he has his own ethical approach that he feel he need a more rounded type of total medical approach to look at patient case to case different. So in that sense, it's very good. Then we also have the TCM medication that Pharmacery and some of our Kayamita has also shared on the My Kayamita WhatsApp. Then Suyan also helped form some of the COVID-19 chat group. So all this, you can seek advice and information, and they are useful. So in fact, medication is very important, because I was told at one stage when the situation was very bad, the hospital is overloaded with patients and they don't have the manpower. They are overloaded. There is not much that they can do. And people who went in, actually, according to some of the sharing that came up, chances of survival is very limited, because when you go in there is nothing much they do for you. So they only monitor your usual thing, the oximeter, the oxygen level, all those things. Then there are a lot of drugs they don't believe in giving you, because even until today, ivermectin or even the TCM medicine, they all say they are Western medical science approach. They are not supposed to give you this. That's why they approve under off the counter one. Is it over the counter? I don't know what it means also. Over the counter means you can buy from pharmacy and take, but you don't have to go through them. So all these are something that you need to understand. So weigh your option, understand, and decide how you want to approach it the best you can. More important is the monitoring. Drink a lot of water, like Suyan, they all recommend. Then breathe in the steam, take vitamin C, vitamin D, then the alternative medicine approach. But seek some advice from people who really have the understanding. That one very important. Like Chin Hao, how they deal with his sister and all those things. So these are all the possible understanding and approach. So this is added information for you. So what did you all do? You let us know.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for the extra information.
You need
to consider that, for in case anything.
Troublesome or difficult to deal, then you all have to come up with maybe better alternative. I believe Singapore also have, but Singapore better, your facility there better. The hospital are not overloaded, overwhelmed. You all can still cope, and your government is a lot better, more responsible. So nothing to worry.
For this case, right, for this case, fortunately, that things turn out to be false alarm.
But
we have to go through the step by step to verify that. Because it was night already, When she come back, it's late at night already. So what we can do is isolate, ask her to wear mask,
And
stay in the room,
Yeah, yeah.
But then the thing is, we don't have like an attached bathroom for the use, because usually when we say isolate, okay, right, yeah, you have the attached bathroom.
Ours
is a common bathroom. So, but anyway, we got no choice, so never mind, you know, just...
If it's nearby, no problem. She only needs to let you all know that she's coming out for her bath. Then you all make sure the toilet is vacant for her.
So anyway, she has to wear masks, you know, throughout house, then stay in the house. And then the important thing is, according to the instruction, is you must, as soon as possible, do a PCR test.
PCR test.
But the thing is, you have to register the PCR test, and then the MOH will give you appointment time and location where you do the test. So the earliest is the next day already. So the next day, she has to do lah. But the funny thing is, you see, because she's working, so she actually contacted her nurse, company nurse.
And then
the company nurse tell her to do it on Saturday. But it was, why can't she just do it on Friday? Because the longer you wait, the longer you have to isolate, and the longer you are anxious to know whether positive or negative, correct or not. So I said, why you want to wait until Saturday? You must do it immediately, because the instruction there never say, you must do when. But I mean, common sense says that you have to do ASAP, not wait until Saturday, right? But then someone asked her to go back to work, I say it's crazy also, I mean the nurse, I don't know how much she knows, but anyway I say no, you don't do like that, you go and I help her to explain to her that you talk to the nurse also, and anyway in the instruction never say that you have to go to work, but actually for my understanding the instruction is very simple, but common sense will tell you, you have to do ASAP and you cannot go to work. Because in case positive, you are spreading to everybody.
Definitely cannot go to work every day.
Correct.
But sometimes you have to understand this PCR test. You do too early, it may not turn out to be positive or what. You still have to do a few days later, because this virus is very funny. It doesn't immediately you kena, then it show the thing. No, sometimes there is a period of incubation before it show itself. So those who do the PCR test, I was told, after a few more days, you still have to continue. Then finally, I think the sure one is, they say 14 days later, everything negative, then it's confirm you're okay already.
The strange thing is, this message was sent to her on Thursday, but the incident already happened a week ago, you know.
She has been mixing with everybody already.
Yeah, correct. That is a shocking one, That is a shocking one. When I look at it, I say, I mean, if really positive, already spread to many people already, isn't it?
He should do the PCR test immediately. We have 1 week ago.
Correct.
Quite accurate already.
So I said, you don't wait until the Saturday, do tomorrow. So she registered and then she got it done the next Friday.
Yeah.
So the result doesn't come back until later. According to the nurse there, it takes 1 to 3 days, to know the result.
That is very long to wait.
Yes, 1 to 3 days. So Friday do, but fortunately the result come back on Saturday morning. It's much earlier than what they say,
It's a few hours only.
The fastest is, I think the airport they say is 6 hours,
No. The new one is very short. New one is maybe two hours or so, they will know.
But anyway,
if it's 6 hour dive and the whole airport, everybody waiting there. Cannot come.
But anyway, I read in the one of the guy that went to the airport, the one of the traveler, they said 6 hours left. Don't know, but anyway, that was shared, you know, on the internet. So I said, okay, 6 hours. But so it was like we have to wait, like everybody. Where, I mean, we actually, we also very strange. We also don't exactly know what is required. So she wear mask. Do we need to wear mask or not? No, because we share the same house, right?
You better wear if one of them is better wear.
Because this is the first time, so we actually didn't wear, you know. But she wear, you know, so funny. So I said,
in isolation, you don't have to wear. But if she walk out to the bathroom, you better wear.
but she wear ma, she wear ma. We,
so she wear, but when she walk around, you better wear too, because you don't know.
Yeah, but we didn't wear anyway. So all this detail we don't know, because it's not stated.
But I think chances is not very likely for her to get the thing, because 1 week ago also she happened to be nearby that location where somebody has positive for COVID, but it doesn't mean it will be her. So the probability is really less. Like my sister's son, we have turned out the boss negative, so he no need to isolate. I think after a few days, the boss negative, he sure negative. So that's how they actually come to understand and deal with all this. So basically is finding out more important. Then also the probability, you have to look at it from probability. Sometimes is also we look at the karma thing also, because even let's say he kena, then nowadays a lot are asymptomatic, no symptom one. But most of them are category 1 and 2, no symptom. And light, very light, what they call symptom or no symptom. So 98% no, because our vaccine herd immunity or what, I don't know. So actually 98% is not serious already. So after 14 days, they should actually also recover. That's why now you have to understand all these statistics so that you know. Most of them, even if you come into close contact or what, is not very likely to kena that thing and end up category 4 and 5. So probability is much lower already. Is your that housemate double dose vaccinated?
Yes. Actually, it's my relative.
Yeah, no problem. Which means probability very low, but still take care.
Anyway, Brad Hill, yes. After this incident, we learned more about this
COVID thing.
Health risk alert. Because we have not received before and nobody shared on the news. Unless you cannot, then the government will tell you. But if you as a public, you also don't get to know the details of it. So because of that, we don't know enough what is this all about. So first time we receive, so it's a experience and lesson for us also, like how to prepare ourselves, you know. Prepare ourselves. Since we have this alert again, what do we do, you know?
Yeah.
Then there is additional understanding on this health risk alert. There are two types, you know. One type is called alert, the other type is warning. Means you really have to quarantine already, you know. You cannot stay at home, you know. Because that one, you have to like have an attached bathroom. You don't have an attached bathroom, you cannot stay in your house, you know.
Better go to the quarantine hotel.
Then you have to go to the designated place,
quarantine,
you know. That one will be like, the risk is much higher, the chances, the probability, like what you say, right, will be a lot higher, you know. So that one, then you must go and register somewhere to stay, you know, cannot stay in the house already.
So that one, the quarantine hotel is very good. All your three meals, they take care. Then we got somebody who stay in a 14-day quarantine before. It seems they provide 5 meals. The food will regular, but you pay more. Then yeah. It's quite a nice environment, except you have to be alone for 14 days.
Actually, this quarantine place, one of my former colleagues got it positive. So stay in that quarantine place. You cannot come out from the room one, no?
Yeah, definitely. That's why it's prepared for you in that sense. Yeah. That's why they will have people. Yeah, they have people who will give you the food, then alert you. Then everything is you do inside. You cannot go out. We have the attached toilet. It's a hotel room.
Then yes, correct.
Maybe you do your own thing.
You just watch TV. Look at your handphone. That's
internet,
it only, no?
Internet.
You know, that's it, no? Yeah.
Do some very limited exercise within the room.
Yeah, you also cannot go out and exercise on also, no.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So these are the thing that we realize that we have to also tell everybody. To understand that it's not that we want to alienate you or discriminate you once you have the infection. You know,
yeah, that
you
one is
to
understood.
Go,
yeah.
You know,
relative,
it's not that we have no sympathy for you that you cannot stay at home, you know. Yeah.
Because these are health requirements, so they should understand. For the good of themselves and others, they have to discipline, isolate.
Yes, yes.
Do what
actually, Brandio, it's really difficult, you know. When I heard of this, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to prepare the meal, you know, put outside, like you say, at the door.
So most of the time, we will arrange for takeaway delivery or tapao, then sanitize it, then just put it outside the room.
I think that is much easier, you know, cleaner, you know, because you will share utensil in the house. How to make sure that it's clean, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
it's more difficult.
I find it very troublesome, you know. You cannot be 100%, you know, confirmed to be able to, you know, get rid of whatever stuff, you know, may be left over, you know, on the utensil. So I think best is to go to the designated facility.
A
warning.
Keep everything for you, then including the oxygen level check every day, a few times.
I was told in Singapore, at this point in time, for Singaporean resident and Singaporean, it's free one, no, Bratio?
Wow, so good, ah.
Yes, free one.
Here,
everything's free one, no?
They have to pay. One that send the made-in one, they have to pay out of their own pocket.
So far, I don't know when the government is going to change, but so far for local,
your government is very good.
It's still free, but foreigners, you have to pay. Yes, foreigners, you have to pay.
Means your government is very good.
We had
what they call quarantine center, but very dangerous to go there because not enough bed. Then they double deck, like packed sardine. They use the stadium, they use the big hall and all those things. Then sometimes you read in the internet, they complain. The toilet are very dirty and all those things. Then don't have even proper food for them. And sometimes the water is an issue. Of course, I think that one was because it was overloaded and all those things. Then sometimes no bed. Admitted having problem, but no bed, waiting for their bed. So there are a lot of very dreadful story when you read the sharing in the internet. But some of them were lucky because they survived to tell the story. So like my wife always said, take care of karma. Then karma will take care of your life. Otherwise, you don't have the good karma. All this can happen. Yes, they really... These are things that can really happen because it's a pandemic. What do you expect? That's why if you have the good karma, you're more fortunate. But no matter how, we are more fortunate than those war-torn countries. You look at Afghanistan and a lot of this, the Middle East or Lebanon area, and also the South African country and South American country. A lot are having a lot of other problems apart from pandemic. So we really have to have gratitude towards our good karma, our good condition.
Yes, yes, gratitude, fully agreed. So much gratitude, so much gratitude.
Yeah.
Get the result that is negative. Such a relief. You know, everybody can breathe already.
Celebrate.
Can celebrate relief. Such a big relief. You know.
Right. Singapore, you are still doing well. Your case is still very low compared to ours.
Because we are living in a very close proximity, although the cases is very low, we feel the stress that because everywhere we go, we have a lot of people, you know, right?
Oh, no wonder.
So and with asymptomatic, nowadays, we don't even know who is sick and who is not sick, you know?
That is very true.
It's very, very difficult, you know. So in a way, we also try to reduce our outing, you know.
Contact with outside, yes.
Then we just go.
Try to minimize that, yes. Even you want to go out to buy things, you make sure the shop is reliable. don't have those funny people going there. Then if you go to buy supermarket thing or what, you have to be careful. Better go at odd hour where not so much crowd or less people. Then quickly buy and just come back. Don't behave like going for shopping like that. Enjoy your time there. Actually, the longer you are in the more risky the risk factor is, because it's aircon environment. So if there is any of this transmission, it transmits very fast. Especially this new variant, Delta, Lambda, obviously. But still, I would say probability wise, unless karmically you're supposed to be the one of the one that's supposed to be affected, then you were gonna. Otherwise, probability-wise, I still look at it as quite safe in that sense. Because even, let's say, you are exposed to the environment, so most of them, 98% are asymptomatic or mild symptom. So you know how to take care. You have alternative medicine or what they call medication that act as an immune system. Or what they call to support your immune system, all this can help. So vitamin C, breathe in the hot air, taking the alternative medicine and all those things, do some exercise, exposed to the sunlight for a while every day, then do the thing that you need to do as advice, like Sui and Leo mentioned, drink more water. Then there are other things that we can do. So once you know all this, you have the understanding to actually mitigate whatever that need to be mitigated. Because the understanding is important. Then you can cut away unnecessary panic and all those things. No need to panic. Just develop the clear mind, understanding, and move on. And do what you have to do. So with all this understanding, it is normally quite easy to mitigate and manage. So everything turned out negative. That's good.
Yes, yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, thank goodness, thank to our good karma, in a sense. Yeah, that everything is negative so far. And so as requested by the MOH, she doesn't need to do the 14 day because...
Yeah.
Just after the 7 days, I think it's probably 8 days, eight or nine days, she needs a test. So, as advised, she doesn't need to do the 14 days. So
correct, because 7 days ago, she exposed. So 7 days later, 7 plus 7 already 14.
Oh, no, not 14. It's 7 days from the exposure that she was told. And then on the 8 or 9 days, she went for the test.
Yeah, correct. Which means the day she was told, it was already 1 week ago, you said.
Yes, 1 week ago.
So, plus the 8 day is already...
No, not the 8 day. It's just...
Plus
the
1 day, yeah.
Plus 2 days.
Oh, on the 8 day, she's going to go. Yeah.
So, the 14 day, I don't know, but the MOH say no need to do the...
No, they must have the criteria, don't worry. Once they say no need, means no need.
Yeah, no
because
need
I think they must have cleared a lot of the possible case.
They probably look at all the cases that reported around
there.
So anyway, she just need to monitor her health at she don't have any symptom, any sign,
Then have enough rest.
Enough rest and...
Then take some medication,
vitamin C,
alternative medication, then drink more water, breathe in the steam, and if got any fever or what, take some medication.
But anyway, so far so good, Brad.
I think most of the Kayameta so far so good.
But Brad, this thing will continue, this pandemic will continue. So
you have to live with it. It will be like a new normal. So don't expect it to go away.
Yes, correct. It will not go away,
overnight.
So we just have to manage it like Brad Teo say, don't panic, do what you need
manage
to do.
Manage it with
don't...
understanding. Do what you have to do. Don't panic.
Yes.
No, don't go and create fear, worry. This one will weaken your mind state.
Yes, correct.
So learn how to meditate, recuperate, and develop the immunity. There are many things you can do to strengthen your immunity. Don't allow stress to come in. Don't allow fear, worry, anxiety. Do not panic. Then meditate more, relax, have joy, then study the Dhamma.
my niece also, she's learning some Dhamma from me. Give her.
Oh, Sadhu, you are the best guy.
She's very quiet one. She will read.
Good.
She will read and she will go temple with me. She is the one that go to the temple, do 3-step 1-bow with me.
Sadhu. How old is she?
She's now 31.
Oh, young. Very good. Have this type of mindset at this age is very good. Sadhu, dear.
She will read, and then sometimes we talk about Dhamma with her. We will discuss. Sometimes when I have something I want to share with her, I will tell her, discuss. And I mean, so far she don't do much other than listen to what I tell her, she haven't attended
Dhamma classes formally. She respected you. When she respects you, she has faith in you.
From what I say. Yeah.
Yeah, they can see and they can learn a lot of things from you. Because a Dhamma practitioner who has the Dhamma is very wise. And the word we share, people can know you are open.
but so far she got no, I mean she didn't spend time to do meditation, and this part she hasn't.
Never mind. Let things be. Don't have to
No forcing, no nothing.
No need to make it very difficult for people.
Yes.
For me, whether you want to learn or you don't want to learn, whether you want to attend or you, nothing to do with me. My nature's duty is to share when there's condition to share. After that, it's finished. After that, whether you receive, you don't receive, you understand, you don't understand, it's not important. What is more important is I do my duty as an individual, a form and mind that has the understanding and the vow, that I fulfill my vow. I deliver what I have to deliver because the request came, I agree to do the sharing and share this Dhamma. That's what I just do. And this one is the understanding of a true cultivator. Your duty is to share, to fulfill your vow, to develop understanding more and more. Then whatever affinity that comes by, it will manifest, show up, and you can see the sign, you can understand, then you know what to do. That is what a cultivator is meant to be. That's why the true cultivator is just the form and mind having this understanding, having this, what they call spiritual nature, karmic nature, and the wisdom, the perfection behind. So all this will unfold. Then you just do. So no need to worry whether he meditate or she don't meditate.
Yeah, she doesn't.
You can ask my daughter and my son. I never force them to do anything. They want to learn, they learn. They don't want to learn, it's not to them. They are alive, let them live. If there is condition, if they want to learn, want to understand, well and good. If not, never mind. Yeah, last time I used to advise a lot of Kayamita. They say, blessed dear, my children, they don't want to go to temple. They don't want to follow me. They don't want to learn the beautiful Dhamma. I say, this is not the way. They have their life. Let them live. Because when there is no condition, no point. You don't force. If you force, in future, you have parents that will force you to do things that you don't like. So understand all this. Everything has its causes and conditions behind. So we do our duty. That's why your duty is very important. And I like this word where my teacher, the Thai monk, told me, right duty is right Dhamma. He speaks in Thai, he says, right duty is right tamak, which is very good. When you have right duty, it means you have right Dhamma. You understand. That's why you do your duty. That is all. The duty is the form and mind is subject to karma. So you do your duty. You don't neglect your duty. That everyone, they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma, and they are what they are because of their karma. So when you understand all this, you know how to manifest. You know how to do your right duty, play your role in society, in life, in existence. Then the wisdom part protects you. So no need to worry, because everyone has their karmic conditioning. So just let things be, whether she meditate or she don't meditate, just let things be. The time will come when there is appropriate condition and understanding. Then even you want her not to meditate, she will also go ahead and meditate, like your case. You know from your own condition.
I agree totally, Brother. Yes, last time my sister always tell me to go and do this, do that.
But you cannot understand at that time. That's why you don't know what is going on. But now you understand because you yourself went through and you transform, you have the condition. Then you see the beauty. That's why now you can advise people.
Thank you, Brother Teo. Yes, no problem. Actually, today I just want to share a little bit about my meditation. Meditated, right? Because today I went out to do exercise. Brother Teo, Ayo, I tell you, I exercise, maybe because they said do some vigorous brisk walking is good. So I did some brisk walking. Well, I come back, my whole body aching, you know. So I said, I need the meditation to recover again.
Yeah, recuperate, yes.
My body aching everywhere, you know, I tell you. So I meditated in the afternoon, you know. So I had 45 minutes.
Good enough, yeah.
You know, the body just rested, and then I come out. Yes, when I come out of the meditation, I feel my body like almost 90% recovered.
Yeah, recuperated. Not good. Yes. So meditation is very beautiful, very wonderful.
Yes, if not,
the other thing that I may need to advise you is if you long time haven't exercised, please take it slowly. Don't one shot go rigorous. Then it may like overexert your physical body. So what is important is your mind may be able to take it, but physically this body needs adjustment. So start in a very regulated type of manner so that you don't one shot like overexercise. Otherwise for us cultivator, we don't have much reserve energy to do all these type of exercises. But I realize whenever I drain my spare energy, even though I can meditate to recuperate, but I will become weaker physically. But I need those energy to do my daily routine and all that. So I one shot over exercise and drain it, then it will affect me physically. Then I knew I have to slowly build it up. If you slowly build it up, then over the days or the weeks, then you can take more and more of this more rigorous style of exercise. That one is very important. So remember, today maybe first time you do it, it's okay. You can recuperate quite fast through the meditation. But when you overdrain, you find out for yourself physical. Because when you reach a point in your cultivation or meditative understanding and training, your reserve, physical energy reserve, is only enough for you to do your whatever physical things and daily thing. And apart from that, you don't have much surplus reserve. So you have to build that one up if you want to do more rigorous type of exercise. That's why sometimes I carry this weight thing, although I know my muscle mass is not enough, I cannot overdo it. If I use heavier weight, I know it affects me. So I have to adjust. So all this understanding is very important. So you find out for yourself, Jose.
Yeah, very true. Because I have not been exercising vigorously enough.
Yeah.
Because it's a very relaxed kind of exercise. You know,
right.
So it doesn't do much. But today I happen to like, actually not so vigorous, but it's just that I do a longer brisk walking.
How long? How many minutes do you do?
Actually, it's like more than a half hour plus. Return is like maybe because I go grocery shopping, so it's like 45 minutes like that.
That is
quite long.
You can maintain that pace, you do maybe brisk walking for half the time, then the rest normal walking, then it's okay. But you can take it, no problem. You can feel that you are still okay, not over draining yourself, not tired, then you can do it. There are some people, their body is such, when they exercise, they feel very good. But for me, because after I understand the meditation and all those things, I start to understand my body differently, because like it or not, the body is just a body, it goes the way of nature. So you cannot like want it to be forever fit and have that energy to do all those things, you can't. Unless I train, then it can be done. But now the mind is so different. It doesn't want to do all those things. Like when I was young, different, the ambition and all those things. Then my mind very strong. When I determine something, I can do it very well. Sometimes even like stay up late to study something or to understand something, I can do it. And I can at that time stay late into the night, no problem. But later on, as I age, I realize I cannot. You need to rest. You need to rest because the signs start to show up. The body tell you, this is not the way to push the body. Yeah, the body is still a body, so you will know your limit. Then you start to adjust. That's why the sensitivity of the mind, the mindfulness, the awareness, and the understanding actually can fall into place and help us develop all this understanding.
Yes, thank you, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much for the good sharing.
My body not young, so that's why I cannot take this kind of stress also.
Yeah. So you start slower, then slowly build it up. In fact, 45 minutes is just like the exercise that I used to do. Last time I used to go to Bukit Kiara, I walked the one up the mountain one, the hill one, up the hill. So that one, go one round, is about 45 minutes to 1 hour. But I didn't walk the brisk walking, only at certain stretch. And there is this upslope and downslope. And I actually gave my physical body a push. So during that time, I can feel the difference. My stamina starts to build up. Then when I went for this Japan trip, I remember with my classmate, where he invited me over to join him on that trip with the wife and all things. That time, we were at this Mount Fuji. I remember Hakone. Wow! We stay at the hotel there. The early morning, there is this activity. We had to trek all the way up the mountain, up to Mount Fuji. Oh, that was beautiful. That time I trained. Oh, I could walk nonstop. Then my classmate, who were much younger than me, actually, yeah, that time I was already married, I think, almost 20 over years, but he only just got married now. He's newly married, so he's supposed to be more fit. Then he looked at me and said, "Oh, Theo, what do you do?" He said, "How come you are so strong?" He said, "I just can do it at that time." But then later on, after I think when I reached 50 something, I start to feel the body is still a body. It's different already. So I start to slow down, and I didn't do that much exercise anymore. Then I also need more time for my own activity, life, and whatever. So during that time, especially after 2004, when I started to come out to share the Dhamma, I shift my routine. And I spend more time on teaching people the Dhamma and all these things. Then I actually slow down on my exercises and all those things. But after my angioplasty, I did what they call the IJN taught me this short exercises, also about 45 minutes in a day, 6 type of very short exercises, 7 to 10 minutes. This was very good. They call it kadai rehab type of exercise. So the specialist told me, he said, I think it's good for you, because after that, I say I feel very easily tired, fatigued. Because rested too long, didn't exercise for too long. So when I recovered, I realized I was quite fatigued. My body was like went through a phase of fatigue. We have lying in the bed for too long, then not much exercise at all. So that Kadai rehab type of simple exercise, this like they have six types, which is very good. The one I show you at the Cameron Highland Retreat is one of them. The weight one, that one is muscle one. Then the other one is aerobic, I think 3 to 5 minutes on it. Then there is this stretching is very good. Then brisk walking also about 7 to 10 minutes. And then the other one is treadmill also 7 to 10 minutes. Treadmill are very good, yeah, I trained myself last time. So I like those things. And then the other one is walking up and down the steps. So a few minutes, total add up about 40 or 45 minutes. Then in between, they give you the oranges, the fruits. They are healthy, simple, healthy nutrition. So I went through that Kadai rehab. I think it was over 4 weeks. Every week, I do 2 days on it. I recovered. After that, my health come back. I no longer had the fatigue and I become like normal again. So I knew you can train yourself to actually make this body normal again. So those type of exercises, no need to be vigorous, but effective. Those type of simple exercise that I told you, one of them is stretching. Stretching is like latching like that one, but it's all the posture which are very good. Then brisk walking, no need to do long. I remember 10 minutes, very good already. Just brisk walking. Then after that, weight lifting, then treadmill. So I realized that one very good. Okay, Pochay, I think we may have to end. Because 10:42 already. So, thank you. Yeah, thank you for your good condition and sharing.